I'm Ebony K. Williams, your attorney at law and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the very latest legal headlines everybody's already talking about. We dig into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down for you, and we go straight from gavel to your news feed. And I promise you this, y'all, every single week, we're going to keep it a buck, keep it 100. Right, Dustin Ross?
That's right, Ebony. Let's go ahead and hold court.
Let's do it. Hey, jurors, what's up, y'all? Auntie E here. And this week, I really wanted to come to you with a special edition of Ask Auntie E, because we've all seen the breaking news this week that R. Kelly has been found guilty of all of those federal charges. And with that, you know, it's just a lot to unpack, a lot of questions from y'all, which I love and appreciate. And I wanted to make sure that we give you the proper attention that this case deserves, so you can understand exactly what happened with the conviction and what it means for him next. And all of this, you know, has a lot of stakes, and we want to make sure you understand them. Here's the thing, though, y'all. Remember that the discussions we have here on Holding Court, this podcast, they're for general information purposes and some entertainment purposes. And this is not considered legal advice for you. For that, you've got to pay an attorney to look at your case and facts and circumstances and consult with them for your individual circumstances. All right, y'all. So we're going to get to this Ask Auntie E question. Here it is. R. Kelly has been now convicted by a jury, a federal jury, of racketeering. Auntie E, can you please break down what this means? How serious is this conviction, or these convictions, really? And will he do actual jail time? Hell yes, is the short answer to will he do real jail time? And we'll get to the specifics of that in a minute. So here's the thing. So much has happened here. What we saw this week was, for the first time ever, Robert Kelly is being held criminally accountable for his behavior, which we now can say conclusively his criminal behavior. Okay. That's what this jury has said. A couple of things about this jury, by the way, I thought it was very interesting. And this is already where there's going to be differences between what happened here in this federal New York court versus what happened, back when he was, acquitted, back, of the Chicago charges back in 2009. And it's important to break that down, because there's a lot of, confusion as to why he's guilty now versus why he wasn't guilty then. A couple things. Number one, back in Chicago during those original charges, which were all related to pornography, by the way, there was no witness that actually took the stand that was the center point of the case, meaning the one young lady they had lined up to testify against R. Kelly in Chicago those many years ago ultimately decided against it. She did not take the witness stand. And so therefore, you've got a prosecution with a very weak case, you know, a lot of hearsay evidence and things like that. That jury never heard from an actual victim of R. Kelly. That makes a big difference. In this case, there were actually 11 victims, five of whom were actually at the center point of this case. And then there were another six men and women who testified to their abuse and horrific experiences with R. Kelly. So I'm just trying to tell you that's, I guess, 10, because, of course, may she rest in peace, Queen Aaliyah, you know, is not with us to testify. But her marriage at the age of 15 to R. Kelly and all the other accusations against what happened during their, you know, time that they had interaction, that was definitely made part of this case and part of the public record. So you've got 10 different people that this federal jury is looking at, hearing from, getting a humanized experience about what they encountered at the hands of R. Kelly. And if anybody's listening to this and you're thinking, I mean, it was really just sex. And I mean, if it was consensual, what's the big deal? Just know it wasn't just sex, and know it wasn't just making him being made to call him daddy. It wasn't just that, y'all. There was a young lady who testified that when rules were broken, R. Kelly doled out harsh and startling punishments, including skin-tearing spankings. And in one case, a young woman was forced to smear feces on her face and then eat it. Okay? That's criminal. And this jury has said so. So keeping all that in mind, also, this jury was protected in this recent federal case, meaning there was no cameras, there was no press coverage. There was just only people. They were actually protected. Their identities were protected even from the attorneys, meaning there was a mix of, I think, 7 men and 5 women, and you didn't even know what races they were. Like, we literally know hardly anything about this jury. And that gives them a cloak of protection that allows them to make a decision in a more protected way versus, of course, there were a lot of cameras, a lot of fanfare, a lot of publicity at that Chicago trial. The last thing I'll say about the difference between Chicago and what happened here in a federal court in New York, just that. This recent conviction is around a federal court, okay? There's a federal court, which means federal resources, federal prosecutors. There's a federal prosecution rate of upwards of 95% for a reason, because they have the full force of the American government behind them, okay? This is not local. This is not, no disrespect to Cook County, this ain't Cook County, okay? Which has the limitations of the resources that a local government would have. You're not dealing with that. R. Kelly has now been convicted of 14 counts of racketeering, okay? The RICO Act. What is that? It's a federal crime statute that talks about crimes that they deem to be racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations. Yes, typically we're used to RICO around the mafia, drug rings, drug cartels. But the federal prosecutors made an interesting argument, which is that the behavior, the systemic behavior of R. Kelly and the system of people that he employed created a sense of an organized criminal enterprise, flat out. That's the argument. And 14 accounts of it, in addition to 6 accounts of violating the Mann Act, which is, again, a federal statute that says you can't take anybody, girl or boy, over a state line for a sexual act. Okay. So 14 counts. The jurors found that the prosecutors had proven all but 2 of the 14. He is guilty, guilty, guilty. Now let's talk about the sentence. There is there's what you call federal sentencing guidelines when you get convicted of a federal charge. So again, already different than state court. Now, with these federal charges, you know, it's not a game. It's not a game. He is looking at a federal mandate of about 20 years apiece. Each count of the racketeering that he's been convicted of carries a recommended maximum sentence of 20 years. Y'all can do the math. It's very feasible that just off of this New York-based federal conviction, he could serve the rest of his life in prison. I say that in that context because don't forget, R. Kelly is facing 2 other sets of charges, right? One back in Illinois, but this time, it's going to be under the leadership of the good sister Kim Fox. Kim Fox isn't perfect, but she's been a hell of a prosecutor during her time so far in Cook County. And he's looking at some serious charges there. And then he's also got charges in Minnesota. Okay. He's looking at charges of engaging in prostitution with a minor in the state of Minnesota. So that's also coming up. When will he be sentenced in this recent case? This is interesting because his charges in Illinois and in Minnesota are not until next year. We don't have trial dates yet, but it will be sometime in 2022. Speaking of 2022, R. Kelly's sentencing for these racketeering federal charges that he just got convicted of, not scheduled to take place until May 4th, 2022. Now, that is a little unusual. Not unprecedented, but unusual. Typically in a federal case, you're going to get a federal judge to set a sentencing date, rather, maybe 3 months out, 4 months out at the highest level. So to say this is really like closer to 6-7 months out, right? Actually, even more than that, like 8 months out, May of 2022, and he's being convicted in late September. That's interesting to me. That tells me a couple things. Number one, it's indicative of just how clogged the docket, literally the federal docket, is in federal court. So it could be the case that because of COVID and everything else going on in our country right now, that might be the earliest reasonable time this judge can really schedule this. That's possible. My legal mind tells me it's probably another issue too, which is they might want to see how things go in the other two cases. Meaning, because he's been convicted, because there's federal statutes and guidelines, it could be a scenario where R. Kelly's defense team collaborates with each other, because I'm sure he'll have different lawyers in Minnesota and in Chicago, and says, listen, this man is basically looking at a life sentence in federal court. What type of plea deals can we work out in these remaining charges? You know, state level charges, and figure out if there's a way essentially that they can not combine the sentences in a legal way, but say that, you know, he's going to plead guilty here in Illinois. He'll plead guilty here in Minnesota. He'll serve whatever, 15, 20, 25 even years, and they will run concurrent potentially with his superseding federal sentence, which will be determined May 4th. And then those sentences can be maybe used as mitigating factors. A mitigating factor is a factor that reduces the severity of the sentence that one faces. An aggravating factor is the opposite. It is a factor that aggravates, that increases the severity of one sentence. So it could be that his defense team is trying to set up a situation where they say, look, Your Honor, this man has taken accountability in these other two cases. He's admitted, he's, you know, he's already been sentenced to this many years. And we ask you consider those proceedings in light of this federal sentencing guideline that you have to subscribe to. Possibly. That's a lot, but I've seen it before. When people have what we call different sets of cases, if you will, in different jurisdictions. But again, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. Guilty on these counts. And I just want to leave y'all with this before I let you go. I mean, we all know in the culture that there have been conversations, talks, whispers, and at some point loud screaming voices about the abusive, and now we have to say criminal behavior of R. Kelly for over 25 years. I personally remember when I first kind of started having access to, you know, Westlaw and other, you know, LexisNexis, you know, any lawyers and law students out there and paralegals even know what I'm talking about. Those are legal research databases. I started pulling documents. So this is back in 2004, '05. To see what was happening in Cook County in those complaints that those local prosecutors talked about, and the McDonald's that R. Kelly and his entourage used to just scope out specifically during after school hours to pick up and really prey on. That's the verbiage, right? Prey on as a predator, as a grown ass man, young children. So this has been out there for over 25 years is my point, y'all. And finally, on this day, this week in American justice, there's justice, not for the system, justice for these young girls and these young boys, we found out in this case that R. Kelly has preyed on. And I just want to leave you with this. I think it was very compelling when you talk about the closing arguments of the federal prosecutors here. And she said this. This is an assistant U.S. attorney that made closing arguments during this case. Her name is Nadia Shahada. She says, the defendant's victims here, they are not groupies, nor are they gold diggers. They're human beings, daughters, sisters. Some are now mothers, and their lives matter. Y'all, that's important because it was juxtaposed against R. Kelly's defense team, who tried, I think, very ridiculously to equate R. Kelly with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and equating him in some kind of civil rights martyr status. And I really fucking hate that. I have to just tell you, we saw the same thing in the Bill Cosby case, you know, with his lawyers trying to say he was Emmett Till or some shit. Listen, here's the thing. When black men do wrong, and make no mistake about it, Bill Cosby's done wrong. R. Kelly's done wrong. I'm going to get to Bill Cosby and why you shouldn't take his recent release as anything other than his wrongdoing. I'll get to it in a minute. But when black men do wrong, the thing that does not help the culture, that doesn't help the credibility of our people, is to try to falsely equate their wrongdoing and their predatory nature with some type of all Black men martyr status. Emmett Till is an icon, was a child savagely taken from his mother and his community in the name of white supremacy. Please don't say that shit with the same breath as Bill Cosby. Dr. Martin Luther King is a global, multi-generational civil rights and human rights icon. Please don't ever mention his name in the same breath as Robert Sylvester Kelly. Two different things, not even the same. And to try to make the excuse of the undermining and the continual criminalization of Black men in general, and then equate it with actual criminal behavior of Black men, blows up our whole credibility as a people. Please, please keep that in mind as you have conversations about this week and moving forward. Now, last point, if you want to look at what happened with Bill Cosby and say, well, Auntie E, I'm confused. Bill Cosby was convicted of sexual misconduct, and then we saw him walk free recently. So why do we know that R. Kelly won't have the same fate? I'm going to tell you why. Bill Cosby walked free, remember, for one reason and one reason only. It had nothing to do with his actual criminal behavior. What it has to do with is that he had a local prosecutor who, in my legal opinion, was a damn fool and moved forward on prosecuting this man, Bill Cosby, on the basis of a deposition testimony where Bill Cosby admitted his criminal behavior of giving quaaludes and other substances to women in order to take away their ability to give consent and therefore be sexually abusive and assaultive in his behavior, admitted on the record in a deposition. Problem is, the local prosecutor said, Mr. Cosby, we're going to decline to prosecute you criminally. And that was done under a sitting prosecutor who said the evidence wasn't that strong, he felt, and he'd rather see the civil remedy in the case of Andrea Constant, and in order for her to get civil justice in a civil case, Bill Cosby needed to admit those things in deposition. So by removing the overhead of a criminal prosecution as a possibility, it gave Cosby the comfort to say, all right, I'll say what I need to say and tell the truth in this deposition because I'm immune from prosecution. Then later, a different elected prosecutor in that jurisdiction in Pennsylvania said, oh, I'm not bound to this office's promise to Bill Cosby not to prosecute, which indeed he was. And they prosecuted and they got a conviction, and it was based in prosecutorial misconduct. I'll say that, because you can't do that. The law is the law for a reason. So that's why Bill Cosby's out. He's out because the local prosecutor there fucked up. They prosecuted him, and when they said they wouldn't, after he made self-incriminating statements, and that's why he's out today. Trust and believe that won't happen with R. Kelly. There has been no prosecutorial misconduct in this federal case. This was, again, the feds move differently. They have a different standard when they approach the prosecutions of their cases. It's generally spotless. It's generally without any flaw or error. That is why their conviction rate is upwards of 95%. So I'll close with this. Listen, R. Kelly convicted many federal counts. He's looking at the rest of his life in prison. Don't forget, he's got those outstanding cases in Minnesota and in Illinois. I'll expect some level of plea bargain, things like that going on, because I can't imagine he would go through additional trials knowing he's got probably minimally a 60-year sentence over his head right here in a New York-based federal court system. Of course, don't worry, holding court's always going to be all on top of this as this thing continues, and you can always get all your legal breakdowns right here. Listen, as always, y'all, appreciate you for listening. Dustin and I are going to have another episode of Holding Court for you next week. Come back. We are going to, listen, Dustin and Ebony, we're tired. We love y'all, but we're a little tired. So we're going to take a little hiatus. Okay, now, don't be sad. We'll be back soon. We're going to take a little hiatus, get ourselves together, rest, recuperate, so we can bring you and deliver the quality and potent Holding Court show that y'all know and love. But in the meantime, we're going to give you great best of episodes and some really dope, our favorite replays and things like that. Stay tuned though. We were going to let you know when there's going to be brand new Court Back in Session episodes of Holding Court, which will be soon. And in the meantime, just show the love for the show. That's how we keep this thing going and we keep it making sense for everybody involved. So follow us, subscribe, rate, tell a friend, and get the word out about Holding Court, because we love this show. We know you love this show and we want to see it be everything it can be. So listen, Holding Court comes to you from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. It's presented by the Black Effect Network from iHeartRadio. Audio service is always wonderfully provided by One of One Productions. So y'all check them out, oneofoneproductions.com. We love them. And again, just keep safe. If you need to get a booster. Otherwise, get vaccinated. Delta variant and things are real. We love you. And we just really want to see our communities thrive during this time. And I really can't believe I'm going to step on Dustin's line now. But you know what Dustin Ross would say. Read your terms and conditions. Love y'all.